Biofuels are a big deal in Paris this week. The IAM wants the U.S. Senate to investigate Lindsey Graham. And ex-FAA whistleblowers are told they're not a priority. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 20th, 2011. Boeing plans to fly the new 747-8 freighter to its international air show debut in a doubly historic fashion, flying the airplane across the Atlantic to the Paris Air Show using a renewable aviation jet fuel, which Boeing says is the world's first transatlantic crossing of a commercial jetliner using biologically derived fuel. Each of the four GE Gen X-2B engines are burning a blend of 15% camelina-based biofuel mixed with 85% Jet A. The airplane's scheduled to arrive at Le Bourget Airport today at about 5 p.m. Paris time. As might be expected at a show in Europe, Boeing is touting the potential for lower noise and carbon emissions. The plane will be on static display at the Paris Air Show tomorrow and Wednesday. The same day Boeing made its biofuel announcement, Honeywell announced it would fly its G450 to the show on a 50-50 blend of traditional jet fuel and camelina-based fuel. Honeywell says it's the first ever transatlantic flight powered by the biofuel blend. The bizjet departed from Morristown Municipal Airport in New Jersey about 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday evening. Virgin America launched CFM International's advanced LEAP engine with an order on Wednesday to power 30 new Airbus A320neo aircraft. The airline also announced that CFM's 565B will power 30 current technology A320s. The 60-plane order was announced in January, and the engine orders have a combined value of about $1.4 billion U.S. at list prices. The IAM, International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, released a letter Friday which has been sent to the Senate Select Committee on Ethics. The letter calls for an investigation into South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham's conduct and statements regarding the National Labor Relations Board's pending complaint against Boeing. The IAM letter cites efforts by Graham and others to pressure NLRB Acting General Counsel Leif Solomon to drop the law enforcement proceeding against Boeing. Union General Counsel Chris Corson commented, quote, "When politicians intervene on behalf of a rich businessman or corporation in order to stop law enforcement from doing its job, our Constitution and rule of law are put in jeopardy," unquote. The IAM letter also cites a letter from Graham to President Obama, in which Graham declares he will pursue sanctions against Solomon and the NLRB, even if it turns out that the board's law enforcement action against Boeing is upheld. The board's action on behalf of the IAM opposes Boeing's establishment of a second production line for the 787 Dreamliner in South Carolina, a right-to-work state, which means the law there does not allow compulsory union membership in a workplace. President Obama appointed two new pro-union members to the board after his election in 2008. According to the American Institute for Economic Research, the IAM has made campaign contributions of almost $24 million since 1990, with more than 99% of the money going to Democrats. In a meeting with the FAA's Office of Audit and Evaluation, the FAA Whistleblowers Alliance was told recently that the agency was placing a higher priority on cases involving current employees, and those who had left the agency would be pushed to the back burner. The Washington Examiner reports that FWA Executive Director Gabe Bruno was told at the meeting that older cases would get a lesser priority. He had uncovered a certification scheme in which 33 people who had been certified as mechanics shared the same address in Saudi Arabia. But FAA Office of Audit and Evaluation head Clayton Fushi Jr. told Bruno that while some managers are still abusing their authority, there's basically nothing he can do for people who've already left the agency. Government Accountability Project Director Tom Devine told the paper that putting those older cases on the back burner is a mistake and that the agency is damaging its own credibility. He adds that policy discourages would-be whistleblowers from coming forward out of fear they'll be the ones ousted with no recourse. And just how far back is that back burner? The FAA's former top safety inspector, who reported that Alaska Airlines was falsifying records a year before a stabilizer on one of the planes failed, causing it to go down in the Pacific Ocean, and who exposed the use of vodka as a de-icer in Siberia, was awarded a large settlement, but only after 12 years of litigation. Up next on ANN, United Airlines faces an FAA fine. Pilots bid to manage their own hangars at a regional airport. And below the butt hip-hop pants lands a U.S. Airways passenger in jail. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 20th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has proposed to assess a civil penalty of more than $584,000 against United Airlines for allegedly violating FAA and DOT regulations for random drug and alcohol testing of safety-sensitive employees. The FAA alleges United failed to perform required pre-employment drug tests and receive verified negative test results before transferring 13 individuals to safety-sensitive positions. The FAA also cited United for allegedly failing to use a scientifically valid method to ensure that each member of the company's flight crews, all of whom are safety-sensitive employees, has an equal chance of being selected for random drug and alcohol testing each time a selection is made. The FAA says it warned United at least twice before that the company's random test selection methods did not give each eligible flight crew member an equal chance of being chosen. The airline has 30 days to respond. Cebu Pacific of the Philippines has signed a memo of understanding with Airbus for the purchase of 30 A321neo aircraft. The carrier has also exercised existing options for 7 more standard A320s, increasing to 41 its total firm orders for Airbus single-aisle planes. The FAA is reviewing 4 bids for a proposed industrial park that would be built adjacent to the Northwest Alabama Regional Airport, KMSL, in Muscle Shoals. Airport Director Matthew Hay says the goal is to attract either aviation-related businesses or companies that need access to an airport. The base bids are for basic clearing, leveling, and drainage work on the property at a cost of between $1 and $1.5 million, though Hay said there are several addenda that could boost that cost. The addenda include roads and drainage to connect the new site with Shoals Research Air Park, which is owned by the city. The FAA will award grants based on which package is selected, but the final amount will not be determined until after Congress passes the FAA reauthorization bill, which of course has been pending for years. The project is part of an overall intermodal plan, which would tie together the Port of Florence, rail, and the airport. The U.S. Department of the Interior has issued a safety alert for its pilots following an incident in which a helicopter experienced a loss of tail rotor effectiveness, or LTE. On Friday, June 3rd, a Bell 407 with 3 people on board experienced an LTE while flying a fire reconnaissance mission in mountainous terrain. The aircraft was operating at a density altitude greater than 11,000 feet at 125 to 150 feet above terrain and between 40 and 45 knots airspeed. The pilot initiated what he intended to be a 180-degree turn to the right, but the chopper just kept on turning. He lowered collective and increased airspeed, regaining control 30 to 50 feet above the trees after doing 3 360-degree turns. The FAA notes that thorough pre-flight planning is essential to prevent an LTE event. LTEs must be immediately reported to local and regional aviation managers. The event should also be documented in a SAFECOM for accident prevention purposes. A group of pilots at Billy Bishop Regional Airport in Owen Sound, Ontario, Canada, have proposed a plan to city officials that would allow them to assume operation of the city's hangars at the airport. While neither side has released any specific details of the plan, the Sun-Times newspaper reports that the group has met with members of the city staff, who have reportedly been very receptive to the idea. The airport costs the city as much as $100,000 a year to operate. At one point, a request for proposals was issued to determine if there was a private entity interested in operating the airfield, and most members of the city council have expressed an interest in selling or leasing it to a private company as a cost-saving measure. And finally today, depending on your position on hip-hop attire, this will come as either an outrage or welcome news. A 20-year-old University of New Mexico football player wound up getting kicked off a U.S. Airways flight and sent to jail for refusing to pull up his pants when ordered to do so by the crew. Deshaun Marmon's pants were described by the air crew as below his buttocks but above his knees, and his boxers were on display for all to see. According to an Associated Press report in the San Francisco Chronicle, an airline employee asked him to pull them up, but after discussion ensued, Marmon was asked to leave the plane and police were called. The chief of police said it took about 15 to 20 minutes to get Marmon off the plane. In a statement, U.S. Airways says its dress code for travelers is simply attire that is appropriate and unoffensive to other passengers. Marmon's mother is calling for an apology. She says her son was profiled because he is, quote, a big, tall, light-skinned black boy with dreadlocks, unquote, who got on the plane wearing baggy pants. Right. This never would have happened if he'd been a short, white kid with a crew cut parading in his underwear. You know, if fashion continues its march in the current direction, pretty soon they can remove the lavatory doors to save weight. Or add an a la carte fee for the doors. That's the latest from Aero News. We have an ANN special feature for you today. CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves explains his D-minus grade for general aviation in the June issue and has a suggestion for what we can do to start the turnaround. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.